You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, budgeting and tracking expenses isn't really hard. It's actually a habit. And just like other habits, it takes some work and repetition to go from trying to remember to do it, of course, to doing it then naturally. So what is the difference between the two, and how do we incorporate them into our money habits in order to create the best outcome? And for that, we've got Titch joining us on the line. Good evening, sir.
Hey, good evening, Tapo. How are you? And good evening to your listeners.
Thank you so much. I'm okay, a little bit nippy under the weather, but we are okay. And how's you?
I am very well, thank you. I cannot relate to the nippiness that you speak about. I'm in a part of the world where winter is not really a thing. So, is it?
Oh, look at you. Yeah. Just flexing a little bit right there. That's really nice. But yeah, I'm glad to hear that. It's just a change of weather, I suppose. But I really attacked it before it even got to me. So I can feel that I'm actually much better, although a little bit nippy, but much, much, much better. How was your day?
Today was a good day.
Okay.
It was a Monday, but it was Monday today, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it was Monday.
Yeah. It was a good day.
That's how good the day was. You don't even remember what day it was. That's a really good day then you've had.
Yeah,
right?
It was a good day. Fantastic. I'm grateful for it. I hope you had a good one too.
I had an okay one. So can I send my invoice your way? Sounds like you had a very nice Machankura money day.
Yeah, cool.
Okay.
Send your invoice. We'll see what it's about.
I like that. Like it for you and like it for me as well. I can tell you now, I will be sending that invoice. But thank you so much, man. We really, really just wanted to thank you first for your time, as always. We don't take that for granted. And we pray the Lord continues to bless you. But thank you so much for joining us once again on the show. But I do want to bring my listeners on board who may not know you. Just a little bit about yourself.
It isn't much, Tapelo. You know, I always say...
I know.
My name is Titch. I've had the privilege to work in financial services for a great part of my career. And I'm quite vested in just trying to help people as much as possible live better, especially in relation to their finances. That I'm on myself. So it's a privilege to be able to share the little that I know.
That's beautiful. We lost you there a little bit. I don't know if you are able to move around so that we can get a much clearer signal.
You know, in trying for this conversation, I find that, you know, I learn a lot myself.
Fantastic. Can you hear? I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Fantastic. I think we had lost you there a little bit, but we got the gist of what you were saying. But once again, thank you so much. We're talking about budgeting and tracking expenses. And one of the things that I always think about when I think about this budgeting thing, it always sounds like we've overdone this topic in theory, right? And maybe there's lots of papers that have been written about budgeting, theses, dissertations on why this is important and all those sort of stuff. But at an implementation level, it's almost like we are politicians. We never get this thing right. I just wanted to get your thoughts there before we even dissect this thing. But am I really thinking about it in the worst way?
Not at all. I think it's one of those things that is probably not the most pleasant of exercises.
I'm sure,
But is absolutely necessary. And I think for us to do that, you want to break down what a budget is, right?
Yeah.
So a budget is essentially a forecast of expenditure.
Yeah.
You're looking at at what you're probably going to spend your money on, but it obviously needs to start with how much you actually have. And I think when you talk of fiscal budgeting, there's kind of like an estimation of revenue that's going to come in over the course of time over the next year, I suppose. Governments fund their budgets from taxes, and they sort of assume we're going to get X amount of taxes over the coming period because, you know, our data models, our forecasts, or the history tells us this is what we're going to get. So on that basis, we're going to plan to spend X amount of money. I think with people, it's a little different. For the majority of us, we know exactly how much we're going to get because you kind of sign a contract, right? And it tells you they're going to pay you $100 a month. So you know you're going to get paid $100 before it even comes. And then you kind of want to plan your life around that $100 and determine how much of that you are going to spend where. So a budget is basically a plan that estimates your expenditure and then divides your expenses around that expenditure. And I think I should be quick to say your savings as well. So you're not just planning, you can't just plan to spend. I think you also want to plan to save. In the context of country budgeting, when they say they save, they say it means they've spent less than they intended to spend. But I think, you know, at a personal level, it actually means you want to have some money left over still in your possession when the next payday comes. So I think there are a couple of, you know, important, you know, tenets around budgeting that we've touched on, you know, through that little analogy to say you kind of want to understand what is coming in, and then you want to divide it amongst the things that, you know, that that income needs to cater for, and then importantly you also have to plan for something to leave behind, because, you know, you can't spend all the money that you make.
You can't,
you know, as a basic tenant you shouldn't be doing that. So I think that kind of then clears the air around what budgeting is, I guess.
With that beautiful explanation, maybe we, like I said, maybe we understand it theoretically, but it's an uncomfortable discussion, like you said. It's an uncomfortable thing to do. Maybe some people feel like it's another administrative thing to do. And the less admin we do as human beings, I mean, I'm one of those, the less admin, the better, right? Because sometimes, admin can really quite be daunting. Maybe that's where the issue then is. You know, there's this thing of it feels so daunting to do this thing and all those sort of stuff. But I think it's the backdrop of any conversations around personal finances, whether it's expenditure, it's investments, it's savings, it's leaving a little bit of money for the next generation. And it all starts with understanding that budgeting bit. So how is it then different, I suppose, the budgeting and tracking expenses? Are we not talking about two sides of the same coin?
I think that's a great way to put it. So there are effectively two sides of the same coin.
Okay.
Because if you set a plan, you obviously want to be able to see whether the plan makes sense. So that you can change it if it doesn't, because you don't want to stick with a plan that's not working. And I think, you know, budgeting and tracking of expenses work hand in hand. In that, after you've said, well, you know, I think my transport is going to cost me $100 a month, you kind of get to the end and, you know, you thought you'd have $10 left and you've got no dollars left, and you kind of go back to it and you realize that, well, my transport actually costs me $110 a month. So, you know, my plan then needs to change. So I think that's part of the process of budgeting, is that the next tool is actually a review of performance. So for me, the tracking of expenses is actually to enable you to review whether or not your budgeting, you know, process is working, and where you need to tweak it. In some instances, you may find that, you know, you've underestimated how much it's going to cost you to do certain things, and you need to revise that. Or maybe you need to revise your tastes, because, you know, money is finite and our tastes are infinite. So you might want to relook that. So it's almost a constant process of how much is coming in and how am I spending it. And some of the tools that help us with tracking how we spend our money. I find once you withdraw money, it it sometimes magically vanishes.
Yeah, that may or
may not have something to do with my wife. if I take my shorts off, if I take my shorts off and there's money in there, you know, she considers it to be a donation to whatever cause she's collecting for, whether it's her nails, her hair.
She's good. She's doing really
and so
good.
Some, yeah, no, she's way too efficient with that. But so the reason I mention cash being sometimes difficult to trend, I mean, to track is because it just goes like that, right?
Yeah.
But sometimes if you restrict your use of money to electronic means, whether it's, you know, swiping your card or making electronic payments, it automatically then leaves you a trail that you can track and see where your money is going, right? So it's an inadvertent tool, a little less administrative than having to write stuff down. But then you'll know what you're spending your money on. A really rudimentary tool, a workmate of mine, you know, told me about how he used to sit down with his mother at the kitchen table when she got paid. He was raised primarily by a single mom. And he says that when his mother would get paid, she used to get paid every week. So she'd pay her her bills weekly. But what she had was she had envelopes that were labeled transport, bread, milk, pay Edgar's. She had an Edgar's account. I think he spoke about she had a Telkom account. And so as soon as she got paid, and then she had a savings envelope as well, which was quite interesting because this guy is a few years older than me. So already way back then, she had this discipline that she'd get paid. She'd then split out her money into all the little different envelopes, transport, bread, milk, Edgar's, Telkom, savings. So even when she was away, you know, they knew that, well, the bread money for the week is in the bread envelope. So when it's time to buy bread, we go into that envelope and we know that the money is there. So it was a great way of tracking or of budgeting, allocating the money, right? And then also being able to track it, because now if the bread envelope was empty before the week was out, you know, obviously maybe we ate a lot more bread, or somebody adopted my wife's model of funding their little schemes, whatever they are. But it was effective, and I think I refer to it to say it's pretty rudimentary, but it's effective. And when you then speak of the difficulty sometimes of doing it, sometimes it's because we are so formulaic around how you do it, you know. And I think each one of us needs to find the way that works for them, that they're comfortable with, and then adopt that method. So if literally taking little brown envelopes and labeling them lunch money, coffee money, transport money, fuel money, bills money works for you, then by all means do that. But if just purely running it out of your bank account and then being able to track your expenses using by going through your bank statement, you can do that. I notice a lot of banks now allow you to call it categorize recurring payments. So they allow you to choose particular headings for all your payments. And each time you're making an electronic payment, they allow you to label it using whatever categories that you've used. So if at the end of the month, you then go into the bank statement, I mean, to the bank app, it will literally group all those expenses for you. You know, these are fuel, this is this, this is this, this is that. So you can't budget without then tracking, because then how do we know the budget's working?
So they work hand in hand there. And you've mentioned something quite really interesting, and I want to come back to it around the importance then of tracking and the importance of budgeting. But I think you did touch on it there. But you just took me back, man, to my childhood, you know, where you've had, we had parents that would sit and say, this is for that, put it in an envelope. This is for tithe, put it in an envelope. And you will see when you are coming back after, say, 3, 4, 5 days, you are coming to ask for certain money for a certain thing. I'll say, go to that envelope. If there's nothing there, then there's nothing there. Like literally very rudimentary. And that was a way to manage and track their spending. But I want to ask this one. I don't know if you've ever encountered people who are saying it's a little bit easier for them to track their spending if the money is in their in their sight with physical cash, because I know of people who've run into problems when using paper, plastic money, swiping and swiping, and they swipe their way till the bank balance is, and they were not aware that the bank balance is like zero. But someone will say, if I have this 5 grand with me right now, it's easier to track. What about those people?
So it's important, because I mean, different strokes for different folks,
yeah.
Right? So some people feel that when they swipe, it doesn't feel like they're spending money.
Yeah,
because they're not feeling it.
Yes,
to a degree, it's true. But most banks now will send you an SMS as soon as you swipe, which tells you what you swiped, where you swiped, what time you swiped it, what day it was. It will even tell you where you swiped it, you know, who the merchant was. And then it will also tell you how much is left, right?
Mm.
So even when you swipe, there's the ability to actually see how much money is left. You will know.
Mm.
It's just that people then, I suppose they don't look at it. And for some people, what works is obviously having the cash and knowing full well that, hey, I had 100 rand or 100 bucks. I've handed it over to someone, so I don't have that money anymore. That works for other people as well. But I think, it then becomes about habit, where, you want to swipe, you don't want to see what's there. You swipe until the card declines, kind of thing. But it's not necessarily because you don't know. You're getting notifications the whole time you're swiping.
Yeah.
But also, you can still also check your balance, after a day or two of swiping. And you'll still be able to see how much you've spent and how much you've got left.
Yeah, no, we all want that life where we just swipe without checking the bank account or disabling the notifications from the bank. That's when you've arrived in life. So that's really an interesting one. Going back to the part about reviewing, and I think that's perhaps why it's important to track, so that you can review your spending, see where you're spending your money, what are some of your tastes, right? And I really love that comment, because you can tell whether you like X type of things or Y type of things, right? Because it's in your spending patterns that you can see what matters to you, what you love the most, what you admire the most, and all those sort of stuff. How often is often? And I'm thinking about this from analysis paralysis type of a thing. Are we not reviewing ourselves to death here? How often is more, I suppose, okay to review your spending?
I think you've got to review it often until you get to that place where, you know, the plan is solid. I think our circumstances change. And we don't always understand that one thing touches the other. I always used to have a conversation with my mother. And one of the things I used to say to her was, but it's one pocket, mummy. Which meant that, if I've got 100 bucks and I suddenly decide to give it all to my mother, that means my pocket is empty now.
Yeah.
There isn't 100 bucks left. So I can't have 100 bucks in my pocket and give you 100 bucks and suddenly there's 100 bucks more.
Yes.
No, that pocket is empty now. Right. So because life does not always, it doesn't always go the way we intend or the way that we've planned. It's not always smooth sailing. It's fairly important to review periodically, because there are things that will happen that you need to respond to, right? But you've got to understand what impact they have on the plan. When you've borrowed money from the bank, for instance, and this is not to say that banks are heartless places. I think they care. There are people who work there as well, right?
Yeah.
But if your mortgage is due and your mother falls sick, right? And you take mortgage money and you get your mother treated, it's a really, really good thing to do. But the reality of it is also that your mortgage is now not paid. So if you were planning to go on a holiday, you can't then not pay your mortgage, get your mother treated, go on holiday, and when the bank says to you, hey, listen, mortgage is not paid, you're like, no, my mother was sick. You're like, but we can see you're swiping in the Bahamas.
Hey,
how's that for I can't pay my mortgage, right?
Yeah.
So it means, because there are competing priorities, sometimes even the best laid plans don't always work out. But because it's a single pocket, you then need to review the plan so that the things that need to be taken care of are still taken care of, even though there are any unexpected things that happen. Obviously, our state of utopia is when I now have this huge chunk of emergency savings and things like that don't affect everything else. But, you know, I accept we are all working towards that. And sometimes we actually then do need to box clever and adapt to the circumstances we find ourselves in. But if we are not budgeting and we are not tracking the spending, we will never find ourselves in a situation where we can then handle those competing priorities with any degree of competence, right? We'll always look like we are sinking. Because sometimes it may well be, you know, if your situation is that close to the edge such that, you know, you don't buy that cup of coffee, you know, midway through the day. Because you're sitting there and you're thinking to yourself, it's a 20 Rand cup of coffee. That's 400 Rands a month. Maybe this month I can't afford it, right? Because, well, I've sent some pocket money to my little sister in high school somewhere. So that's important to me. I've done it. But now I can't do the cup of coffee, right? That's where the tracking comes in. That's where it's important. It allows you to adjust as things happen.
I love that. I think if there's any place where we need to be competent, you know, besides work and school and all, it's definitely anything that has to do with money and finances. There, we all need to be competent. But we are not saying that we should be stingy or, you know, a little bit hard around money. That's not what we're saying, Hated.
It's not what we're saying. I think when you have a plan, you can be flexible. Think when you don't have a plan, you know, I think it's counterintuitive to say the plan makes you flexible. Because, you know, you kind of need to stick to the plan, right? That's the whole point in having a plan. But if we go back to the example of saying, you know, I've budgeted. I really like my cup of coffee. I really like my cup of tea or whatever it is, and I want to buy it. You know, it's kind of 11 o'clock. I'm at the office. I've got that mid morning slump, and I think a cup of coffee is going to give me a leg up to get it to make it through to lunchtime. And so I've planned for it, right? So I know that it's there. I can spend that money without any guilt. But if it so happens that my little brother who's in boarding school phones me and tells me, look, listen, I'm really hard up. I need some pocket money, and I can then have the luxury to be able to say to myself, well, maybe I have a cup of coffee every second day, so I can afford to send him $200, right? As opposed to then saying, oh, where am I even going to find the money? The plan gives you flexibility because it then allows you to be able to say, if I cut here, I can meet this. Or actually, I can't do that because the plan is already telling me that I'm on the edge, right? So I cannot afford to do this, right? So without the plan, unfortunately, it always looks like the money is there. So this is where we swipe until the card declines, right? Because the money is there. There's no, it doesn't seem like there's a plan for it because, well, there is actually no plan and the money is sitting and doing nothing. But 3 weeks down the road now, you want to do something else and you're thinking to yourself, maybe I should have saved that money. But you could never have because you'd never planned what you wanted to do with that money. So the plan actually gives you flexibility. And then tracking it allows you then to be able to say, is the plan working? But it will also then enable you to shuffle the cards, the chairs, or, you know, on the deck if you need to, to respond to the circumstances that come up because life is like that.
I love that. But I'm just thinking now, as you say, is there an opportunity cost, I suppose, to this thing? Because I'm thinking now, as you just used that example as well, you could be tracking and saying, this is the plan, I'm going to be spending like this and like this and like, but there's always an opportunity cost somewhere. You could be using some of that money, I suppose, for it to make a little bit extra interest here and there, but you never know when there might be an emergency from your family or whatever. Now it disturbs the whole thing. Or should we just say, whatever that has to do with budgeting, regardless of the opportunity cost, it's in the envelope and stays in the envelope, as rudimentary as that might be.
I'd almost take us back to the plan allows you to be flexible. You've got to know what you're giving up. There's always an opportunity cost, right? And, you know, you may not be able to avoid the, call it the obligation that has come up, but you've got to know what compromises you're making in order to do that. So I'm going to send my little brother money, but this means my coffee money is going to suffer because well, I've got to pay my bond and I need money for transport to go to work. So I can't then, you know, just pay and not know where I'm going to scrimp or where I'm going to save, you know, or what I have to give up. So that opportunity cost is always there. So the guy who says I earn $100, I'm going to save $20 every month, at a very rudimentary level, his opportunity cost is he's got $20 less to spend. You know? Because he's gonna save it. It's a good thing. But the reality is he's got $20 less to spend. So if his friends decide, you know, Argentina is playing Morocco and it's a really great game and we want to go and watch it and the ticket is $20, he may well turn around and say, guys, I don't have $20. So he's missed out on the opportunity to go and watch the game, but he saved the $20. So there's always an opportunity cost. And I think part of what then puts us into problems and why we become reluctant to budget is because we want to act like that opportunity cost is not there.
It's not there.
No, we don't want to give up anything. We want everything, right? So you don't want to say, oh, this maybe is not for me because, well, I'm doing something else with my money or I've planned it. But we jump on every single thing. So the opportunity cost factor is a reality in any money plan. There are things that you are, you may well be able to offer to pay for, but you don't, you can't necessarily afford because there's a difference.
Sure, that's always. And I think we get blindsided. We don't take note of that blind spot, which is the opportunity cost. That's always there every time. It doesn't matter what you're buying, how small or big it is, but there's always that element of the opportunity cost. I mean, even with savings, if you decide to save or invest your money, there is a cost. An opportunity cost because you're foregoing something else that you could have done. Like you said, beautiful analogy with the gents. They're going towards doing, I suppose, sports and watching our team play and all those sort of stuff, which is amazing. Now, let's tie it up then together as we close to say it's not a tedious process, I suppose. It's a, what I'm getting is it's a necessary process. Tedious, I suppose, it's an opportunity cost on its own. But it's not necessarily as tedious as it may sound. In the grander scheme of things, it's very small, right? But are there, you know, I suppose using our banking app is one way to make this a little bit less tedious, and can help us to track, categorize. The bank can do that. We are saying take advantage of those abilities of our banking apps, eh?
Precisely. You know, I don't want to punt anybody. I think there are some people that have actually built banking apps that work together with your bank account. They've built apps that work together with your bank account, and they almost do this automatically for you. But most banking apps now do have this functionality. The other thing as well is, you know, take some time to just sit down and actually understand what you spend your money on. You know, there are obviously the big things. If you are paying rent, you are paying off a car, or maybe you've got a mortgage. These are the big things, right? So most often with most people, they will be able to pay those. And, you know, it kind of happens automatically. I think, you know, like in South Africa, you've got debit orders. For most of these big expenses, the debit order just runs, so you don't even see that money. But you want to be able to sit down and actually just fully understand what happens to the rest of your money. You know, a lot of people always say, there's a lot of month at the end of my money. But, you know, I think it's probably that there's a lot of, there's a lot of expenditure before the month is over. So we don't make the money meet the month. We kind of say, well, the month will take care of itself. I'm going to deal with the money. So we almost want to invert the thinking. The other thing as well is, you know, once you've kind of done it once, it may be tedious, you know, the first couple of times that you do it, because you are going to skip one or two things. But, you know, once the discipline is set in, it's easier. It then almost, you know, comes naturally to you. You spoke about the element of stinginess. I think, you know, usually people accuse us of being stingy when they when they spend our money for us.
Yeah, a lot,
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's either they are coming to you and saying, you look like you make loads of money, can I borrow 5,000 rand? And
yeah.
Then you say, well, I don't have 5,000 rand.
Yeah.
And they say, well, you're stingy.
Yeah.
But the reason is actually because maybe you said to yourself, I need to save this 5,000 rand,
yes,
so I could possibly lend it to you,
yeah,
but I'm not going to do that. I'd rather do this. So then they turn around and they say you are stingy. Or they look at you driving,
yep,
a probably so expensive car, and like, those guys, what does he do?
Mm.
This job, you should be driving a bigger car,
mm,
but the car is small. Then they turn around and they say you are stingy.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you are called stingy in most instances, I think it's actually almost a grudging nod to your money management.
Yeah.
People are looking at you and thinking, you should be spending it, you should be blowing it.
Yeah.
You're not blowing it,
yeah,
right? So maybe it's a backhanded compliment
hey.
To be called stingy.
Yeah.
Because people are seeing you working and doing your best, you know, to take care of your money, plan how you spend it, you know, not just wake up and do things on a whim.
Mm.
They can see, they know you earn enough to do it. They don't see you doing it.
Mm.
So rather than say, oh, he's managing his money, they then
say
you're stingy.
Hey.
So sometimes when you're called stingy, you know, maybe don't take it too
personally.
You know, it's a backhanded compliment, you know, maybe take it and say, well, thank you.
Hey, yeah, no, I think you've just encouraged us, you know. Yeah, it does happen quite a bit. You know, you're just trying to manage your things quite correctly. Please tie it up as we wrap up. In other words, final thoughts from you on this topic.
Okay, so final thoughts from me: a budget is an absolute necessity in any sort of financial plan that you have. You've got to understand how much is coming in, and you've got to allocate it, because that's what the budgeting process does, right? It allocates the money that you get to all the different things that you think is important for you. The tracking is also, it works part and parcel with the budgeting.
Sure.
After you've done the budget, you then now need to track to actually make sure that the money is going to the places that you intend, and where it hasn't, it then allows you to be able to box clever, to understand what you need to not do a lot of in order to make up for the gap that you've got.
Yeah.
It may seem daunting, but I think it's an absolutely important thing for you to do. So get started. You know, knuckle down. It gets easier as you go along.
Yeah.
There are lots of tools that are available for you to be able to do it. They can be as basic as an Excel spreadsheet where you just put income at the top and you record your expenses as you go down and you subtract and you see what's left at the end. But, you know, there are also now a lot of nifty, you know, capabilities that exist that will enable you to do this. You know, banking apps, just looking at your bank statement, for instance, and all sorts of other, you know, clever apps out there that can help you to track your expenditure and actually work off your bank statement, right? So they access your bank statement for you, they categorize your expenses for you, and some of them will even then be able to advise you on what they think you should be doing in order to improve your money management. But budget, very, very important.
Sure.
Tracking, complimentary to the budget.
Yeah, sure. What a way to sum it up. Thanks, Yutish. Appreciate your time.
Thank you very much, Thapelo, and thank you to your listeners. It's been wonderful as always.
It's been beautiful. Thank you so much. God bless you, man. God bless you indeed.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
God bless.